Amen. Well, let's just prepare our hearts and pray for the word tonight. Father, once again, it's always an honor to look to your word, to receive of your word, and we just pray tonight that you would be pleased and that you would be glorified and honored in this word tonight, oh God. We ask that you would open up our ears tonight, God. We eagerly desire to receive the impartation of what it is that you want to depart into our spirits. And so we just say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and teach us, to come and correct us, to come and just stir our hearts towards your holy ways and your divine plan for our lives. We honor you tonight in your word. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Divine Holy Passion. The definition of this word passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion, an intense desire or enthusiasm, a driving or overmastering feeling or conviction. It is interesting when you look at this word passion, and if you look at the secular definitions of it, it even includes the suffering and death of Jesus. The person and work of Jesus on the cross, it is recognized worldwide, in every society, in every religion, as a passionate act. How many know that we choose where our passions lie? We choose the lack of or the level of intensity in our lives towards our passions. There are many who choose for their highest passion, for their first passion, for their strongest passion, to be on sports, to be on a hobby, on a certain kind of entertainment or a lifestyle. But the theme of this message tonight is divine holy passion, because the life of Jesus demands, the life of Jesus deserves for our single and our highest passion to be on pursuing his ways, to be on pleasing our Father in heaven. We have been blessed with so many worship songs that stir us to live a life of his passion. God's word is full of examples where a godly passion is the central theme of God's desire. We are challenged to model our lives after this as we follow the pattern of Christ, for our godly passion is our divine calling. Our godly passion is our divine calling in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 tells us that we were saved, but not only were we saved, we were called with a holy calling. Passion flows from the deepest treasure that is hidden deep within our hearts. Passion is reflected as the energizing motive. It is reflected as the internal holy fire that motivates us to fulfill our God purpose. How many have experienced that internal holy fire that motivates you to fulfill the God purpose upon your life? There are seasons where our passion perhaps is more alive than at other times. There are forces that are fighting against us, that are working against our passions to be divided. There are forces that are fighting for our passions to be divided unto the Lord, that are fighting to diminish our passionate pursuit after pleasing God. We must overcome the divided passions and fight for our holy, divine passion to be single, to be united and centered on glorifying our God. I pray that every one of us tonight can be stirred regarding the focus of and regarding the level of our passion, that it would be a holy, divine passion that would be stirred afresh within us, that would overflow, that this holy divine passion would put to death every other ungodly passion that is seeking our highest praise. The divine passion that we can model our lives after is found in the life of Christ. His passion was exemplified as surrender, sacrifice, character, and service. Another person who is an excellent role model for us, many role models for us in the Word of God who displayed an exemplary passion for God, but the one person that I want to look at tonight is the Apostle Paul. Formerly known as Saul, we are familiar with his story, but he was a persecutor of the church. He hated everything that Christians stood for. So violent was he in this ungodly passion that many believers were afraid of him. And his story tells us that the grace of God physically struck him on that Damascus road. And he had such a powerful encounter with the living God that it changed his life. He dedicated the rest of his life to pursuing the life and the example of Jesus Christ. Paul went from being a persecutor to a passionate preacher of the gospel. His passion is seen in so many of his writings in the New Testament, but one of them that I want to encourage us with is found when he writes a letter to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy. If we read 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 14, there is a main theme within Paul's letter regarding a few of the most important things that he urgently wanted Timothy to be passionate about. He urged his spiritual son in these areas. He said, Timothy, church, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but follow my pattern as I follow Jesus. Be loyal to the faith, he said. In other words, have a single, a united, loyal passion for Jesus. And he ends this particular passage by saying, all that has been imparted to you through the word of God, through the prophetic word of God, keep every single word that has been imparted to you by the Holy Spirit that is alive within you. Church, we are called with a divine, holy calling to walk with a single, united, divine passion to follow Christ, just as Paul did and so many others who served alongside of him. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, in the AMPC version, it reminds us to never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Do our hearts burn tonight? Do our hearts burn tonight with the Holy Spirit that is so deeply deposited within us? Do we lag in our zeal, or do we have a holy zeal to serve the Lord and to please him in all that we do? Let our single passion be as David said in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Unite my heart to fear your name. One of the indications that a person is passionate about something can be found in the areas that they cry over, in the areas where they weep, where the tears can be seen poured out of their lives. There are specific scriptures in the Word of God that show us the passion of Jesus as he wept over specific areas. We are told in Hebrews that Jesus wept over the souls as he prayed and he interceded for their hearts to be softened, to be turned towards the Lord. A powerful passage, though, for us to look at in relation to this is in Luke chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Luke 19, verses 41 to 44. And the title of this passage actually is Jesus Weeps Over Jerusalem. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept over people who did not recognize the time of their visitation. They did not recognize that the presence of the living God was in their midst. Their hearts were hardened, their eyes were closed, their ears were closed. And Jesus begins to weep over this people because he recognizes that as they were hardened, that as they did not recognize the time of their visitation, he goes on to say, because you did not recognize this, the enemy is coming for you. The enemy is coming for you in the days to come, and he is going to begin to build an embankment up around you. He is going to begin to build walls up around you, and he says, not only over you, but upon your children as well. And Jesus is weeping over these lost souls as he sees that their time of darkness is coming, that the time of darkness is going to remain over their lives, over their hearts and their minds. Do we weep, church, as Jesus weeps over those who are in darkness, over the lost souls? Can we recognize our time of visitation? And can we rise up and say, oh, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to intercede. Teach us how to begin to prophetically declare that the lost will come home. Bring them out of darkness. I pray tonight that our heart can be burdened with the burden of Jesus, that we would begin to not be afraid of the tears, that we would not be afraid of the burden, but that we would say, Jesus, lay your passion upon me. Lay your tears upon me, that we would begin to see breakthrough and we would begin to be able to call the wall salvation because of our intercessions. May we cry afresh that Jesus would place his burden and passion upon us. Paul's divine passion can also be seen when his tears poured forth. Paul wept over those who were enemies of the cross, Philippians 3:18. Paul wept while preaching to believers about the false teachers who were drawing Christians away from their holy passion in Acts 20. I love this about the Apostle Paul, that he weeps even over the believers as he recognizes that there are false teachers. There are different passions that are looking to draw you away from the passion of Christ. And he weeps over this. He wept over the church. He wept over the believers who perhaps thought they were safe, who perhaps thought they were passionate and on fire for God. But he recognized the divided passions. What was it that motivated Paul to follow Christ and preach the gospel? Why did Paul go from being a persecutor to a preacher? He tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that what compelled him in this passion was simply the love of Christ. In everything Paul spoke, in every way that he lived, his passion was compelled by the work and the power of the cross. He kept the work of Jesus and the grace of Jesus upon his life ever before him. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May our passion be models after the Apostle Paul and so many others who were motivated by the grace of Jesus. So undeserving are each one of us. So undeserving were they. And yet Jesus said, I am counting you worthy. I am counting you to be deserving because of my love, because of the sacrifice that he was about to endure for our lives. May we look to the cross. And may it stir our passion. May it increase our passion. Our main passage of scripture tonight comes from perhaps one of the greatest verses that reflect Paul's passion in Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Living a life of divine, holy passion to fulfill our God purpose requires many things, but just the three that I want to highlight tonight. Number one is surrender to God's passion and to his prophetic plan. Our holy passion can only be evidenced through surrender. Our holy passion can only be evidenced by our lives being entirely centered on doing the will of our Father, on pleasing him with every aspect of our lives. Jesus is our beautiful example of surrender. When he declared that he came to do the will of his Father, he came to fulfill the prophetic plan of God upon his life. And every single one of us here tonight, there is a prophetic plan of God. He ordained from the beginning of time our lives, our ministry, our work, our giftings, our service, our breakthrough. God ordained each of these aspects from the beginning of time in our lives. The prophetic plan upon each one of us is for us to glorify our Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Any other plan, family, any other plan that we are surrendered to that is not the plan of God only leaves us confused, distracted, heartbroken, full of fear, not living in victory. Because any other plan that we are surrendered to that is not the plan of God means that it is a self-centered plan. It is not a life that is surrendered to God's guidance, to the Lord's leading, to his plan. When we are surrendered to the God-ordained plan for our lives, it means that we surrender everything, every aspect of our lives, every thought, every emotion, every choice, that we live our moments in surrender to the Lord. When Paul was passionate about persecuting the church, God got a hold of his spirit. He got a hold of his spirit and he changed his surrender to being self-centered, to being a holy surrender unto the Lord God. You see, we need to be aware that there can be misguided surrender in our lives. There can be misguided passions in our lives, misguided pursuits in our lives. And we need to be aware of these misguided things in our lives. Jesus said, nothing else matters in life if we do not love God passionately. The greatest commandment upon our lives. He said, nothing else matters in this life if we do not love the Lord our God passionately with everything that is within us. Mark 22, verse 37, in the Message, Jesus said, love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. God is saying, put some heart into your relationship with him. Put some emotion into your relationship with him. The prophetic plan upon Jesus' life was to destroy the work of the devil and to tear the curtain in two. He was passionate about his Father's will, and because of this, he surrendered to his will, and he was able to endure that crucifixion for our salvation. When we are surrendered to our Father's plan, we are surrendered to our Father's passion. Amen? When we are surrendered to his plan, we are surrendered to his passion. He is passionate about our entire devotion, about our holy living, about our devotion to his word and to his church. Proverbs 23, verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners. Some of you need to hear that tonight. Do not let your heart envy sinners. It's easy to look at what everybody else has and to make assumptions that their life looks great, everything is going well, they have it all together. The Lord says, do not let your hearts envy sinners, but be zealous only for the fear of the Lord all the day. Luke 24, verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And I want to ask each one of us tonight, whose plan are we surrendered to? Whose passion are we surrendered to tonight? What is the highest priority upon our lives? Do our hearts burn within us when Jesus speaks to us, when he opens the scriptures and the holy word of God to us? Does it cause our hearts to burn and to yearn for even more? What words are upon our lips? What thoughts are within our minds? What passion is driving our emotions and our actions? Paul crucified his flesh through his surrender to the example of Christ. Colossians 3, 1-3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Number two tonight is purge the temple. Purge the temple. John 2, verses 13-17 is the familiar passage to us about when Jesus cleanses the temple. How many know that there were moments when Jesus displayed a holy anger, and it was righteous, and it was pleasing to his Father? And this is a passage where he displays his holy anger that burned inside of him when he saw those around him who were defaming the temple. He turned over the money tables. He drove them all out of his Father's house with a holy passion. And verse 17 says, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Church, I pray that we would take this verse upon our lives, that zeal for the house of God would eat us up, that it would consume us as a holy fire. Do God's passions consume us and drive our actions? God is passionate about his temple. He is passionate about his house, about the temple of our lives, the temple of our homes, that they be purged and cleansed from any unrighteousness and any ungodliness. Paul was united with Christ's passion. He understood the urgency and the need to purge his own life. Our passage from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 in the Passion Translation. I should use this translation if we're talking about passion. So in the Passion Translation, it reads, "My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one." May there be a zeal within us to purge our lives, to purge our priorities, purge our calendar of some things, to purge our passions perhaps. God will bless us with enjoyment on this earth. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But where is the highest passion? Where is the first priority? Are we united with God's priorities first and foremost in our calendar, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in our prayers, in our pursuits in this life? What does it mean to be crucified with Christ, as Paul describes so often in his life, in his letters? It is a life that is broken. A life that is broken just as Christ was broken for us. It is a life that does not belong to us. Our lives do not belong to us. And how many can say hallelujah? I'm so thankful for that, because Christ's life is better than anything else that I could ever come up with on my own. Our life doesn't belong to us. It is a life that belongs only for the glory of God to be revealed. May we purge the temple of our lives, crucify and put to death anything. May we be broken in humility and surrender as Christ is our example. How many know that sometimes the purging of our lives can feel painful, can feel like we are actually suffering as an area is broken off of us? But the obedience of our purging is beautiful. The obedience of our purging brings a beautiful reward and a beautiful glory of God over our lives. It pleases our Lord. How many have ever experienced that in your life? An obedient act of purging that has felt painful, but it has brought such pleasing to the Lord and such glory to God. He is pleased when we purge the temple of our lives as an act of passionate love for who he is. Galatians 4:19, Paul earnestly yearns that Christ would be formed within us. May Christ be formed within us. Philippians 3:7-9, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Can you hear the passion of Paul in these words? The love that Paul had for his Savior, the thankfulness and the humility and the surrender to the grace of God in his life. He says, "The things that I once counted as gain, the things that I once thought were so amazing and that I needed in my life, I now count them as loss for the excellency of knowing Christ, that he would be pleased, that he would be formed in my life." If it is true, church, that the less of our self-pleasing that there is in our bodies, the more the glory of God would reside within us, how many would say, less of me and more of you? We declare that we want to be a people that says, less of me. Let there be less of my ideas, of my will, of my wants and my needs. Lord, we just declare that we want to be a people that say, less of me for more of the glory of God. We want an abundance of the glory of God to reside in his house. We want an abundance of the glory of God to be imparted over our homes, over our marriages, over our children. This is related to it. God says, less of you will bring more of me. God, let there be more of you in our lives. As Moses cried out, "God, let me see your glory." We pray that in our hearts. Number three, the final thing tonight is protect the passion. Protect the passion. How did Jesus protect his passion? He never took his eyes, he never took his heart off of the Father's will, off of the prophetic plan that was upon his life, over the God purpose that was centered so deep within his spirit. How did Paul protect the divine, holy passion within his life? Our main passage in Galatians 2:20 says that it is Christ who lives in him. And the life that he lived in the flesh, he lived by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul understood, as we've already said, keeping the love of Christ, the work and the power of the cross before him, ever centered in his heart, in his mind. This is how he was able to protect the holy divine passion over his life. He lived with such a thankfulness, with such humility. What a humble man he was, for the grace that Jesus poured out upon a life that was so undeserving. We are so undeserving, yet chosen. So unworthy, yet made worthy because of the sacrifice of Jesus. May our eyes and our priorities always rest upon the power of the cross. And in doing this, every time we look to the cross, we will be strengthened. Our passion will be protected, and it will be pointed in the right direction. This will require discipline. Protecting our passion requires a discipline. Never lagging in diligence, it says. It requires a discipline to always be in the Word, in worship, and in prayer. It's like an athlete who is training for the Olympics. This athlete can choose to cheat on his diet. He can choose to weaken his exercise regime. But his performance will reflect that. His performance will be poor and will not be as great as it once was when he was focused on this. And it's the same in our lives. We can cheat on the spiritual disciplines in our lives. They can be in lack in our lives. They can be lessened in our lives. But the empowered life of the Holy Spirit will reflect our discipline. It reflects our diligence in drawing near to the Lord every day of our lives. Jesus desires to baptize us with the fire of his Holy Spirit. And when we feel dry, when we feel that our passion is weak, sometimes we need to stir up the gift of God. Sometimes we need to stir up the flame of passion within us, as Paul reminded Timothy. The holy fire that ignites our passion, it has to be tended to. It has to be stoked continually within our lives. You see, a fire will either burn out if it is left unattended, or it will grow when fresh kindling is added. How many need the holy fire to grow a little bit in your life tonight? All of us can say amen to that. We've never arrived at this. There are times when we are in danger, church, of losing our passion, of losing our zeal in the Lord. And if this happens, we will lose the vision of God. We will lose perspective. We will lose what the plan of God is for our lives. And you know, Satan understands this. How many know that? The enemy is smart. The enemy understands this principle on our lives, and he loves nothing more than an apathetic Christian. And I once read a definition that lukewarmness is serving God in such a way as to not offend the devil. We need to protect our passion, church, so that the devil is afraid of us. We must not live mediocre Christianity. There is more to the kingdom of God, and there is more of the fire and the zeal of God that he wants to impart to every single one of us. No matter where you find yourself tonight, no matter where you come from, no matter what has happened in your life, God says, would you stir up the gift that is inside of you? Stir up the holy zeal. Stir up the passion in the name of Jesus and see what God will do. We take back those things that the enemy has stolen. We will not be those people who are apathetic. We will not be those people who just sit on the sidelines and say, oh, I wonder what God's going to do, and maybe he can do this, and maybe he will do this. Oh, God, stir it up in our hearts, we pray, even now in this moment, that we would not settle for yesterday's power, that we would not settle for last year's testimony, but we would say, look what God wants to do now, this day, in this moment in our lives, in the name of Jesus. The enemy is fighting for your passions tonight, that they be towards anything and anyone else but the prophetic plan of God upon your life and upon this church. He wants them to be pointed and directed at anything and anyone else but the plan of God for your life, for your home, for your children, and for this church. Romans 12, verse 11. In the Passion Translation, it says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. How many want to be excited to serve the Lord? Our God is fighting for us tonight, church. He is fighting for us, for the holy zeal and for the holy passion to be alive in our lives, for our victory. Isaiah 42, verses 12 to 13. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. God is prevailing against the enemy of your spirit tonight. God is prevailing against the enemy of your fear tonight, against the enemy of your mediocrity tonight, and he is saying no more. But there is a holy zeal and a holy fire that he desires to impart to us that does not look like you. Yesterday's, but it is new, it is greater, it is more holy than anything we could ever imagine or ask for. And that is what we ask for tonight. Let's have the worship team return, please, at this time. We are shown passion by Moses when he cried out, Lord, please show me your glory. Would you even now, where you are, just begin to say that if you earnestly believe that and desire for that, Lord, please show me your glory. If there's anything within us that is hindering your glory, reveal that to us. Oh, that your house would be filled, that the train of your robe would fill this temple. As well in Exodus 33, a display of Moses' passion. I love this story. God had just delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And now he comes to Moses with a command, and he says, it's time to lead my people into the promised land. There is a land that is waiting for you where you no longer will be slaves, where you no longer will live in darkness, but there is a land that is waiting for you where the blessing and the provision of God is ready for your lives. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But Moses responded to God's command by saying this in Exodus 33, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. This is a tremendous statement if you think about it. God had just promised Moses a land flowing with milk and honey. He had just gave this tremendous promise to Moses saying, listen, my blessing and my provision is going to be there. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live enslaved anymore. And yet Moses was not focused on what was in front of him. He was not focused on the promise of God's blessing. All he was focused on was, God, do not bring me out of slavery. Leave me right where I am. Do not set me free. Do not give me the promise if your presence does not go with us. Moses was so passionate about protecting the glory of God in his life. He was so passionate that the presence of God would always be with him. Cast not your Holy Spirit from me. God, I'd rather stay in the desert. How many have ever said that? Probably none of us. God, I'd rather stay enslaved, really? But you see, Moses had tasted of the glory of God. Moses understood what it meant to be passionate for the presence of God, and he did not want to take one step. He did not want to speak one word unless God promised that his presence would be with him. I pray that that would be our cry and our prayer tonight. When we have a divine passion for our God, it will stir us to fulfill his prophetic plan. It will cause us to purge our lives of any unrighteousness, and it will move us to fight to protect the glory of God in our lives. May we rise up, church, and be this people who live with such a passion that we would declare, my soul faints and thirsts for the living God. Let us look at this final passage together before we close. Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. How many want to be well-pleasing in the sight of our Savior? Come on, I want to live a life that pleases my Father, that pleases my Savior. What an honor to live with that mandate upon our lives. Let's bow our heads tonight and just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this moment. And I just want to ask tonight, is there a yearning in your heart for the divine holy passion? Is the flame of God's passion burning within you? Is the Holy Spirit tonight calling you to surrender to God's passion and to his prophetic plan? Perhaps there are areas that he is calling you to purge the temple of your life in. And are you guarding, are you protecting his passion? Or do you need to strengthen or ignite this passion afresh? Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, I pray. God, all we want is you. All we want tonight is more of you. And I just pray tonight, oh Lord, that if there have been passions that have laid dormant, if there have been passions that have been misguided, I pray tonight right now by the Holy Spirit that you would just begin to shift those passions, that you would begin to shift the holy fire. That, Lord, we would be a house that is united, not divided. We would be a people that is united in the passion of God over our lives. Lord, I pray tonight that you would reveal to us anything that might need to be purged, anything that is standing in the way for a greater level of your glory from filling us, God. I pray that you would just begin to reveal that to every one of us, oh Lord. God, I pray if there are areas of our lives that are not protected, where we have let the enemy in, where we have let him just set up camp when it comes to our holy fire and to our spiritual, supernatural language. If we've let the enemy set up camp in any area of our lives, God, I pray that tonight that there would be a destroying of the work of the enemy in every single one of our hearts and our minds tonight, that there would be a raising up of the protection of the holy zeal, the walls of God. Lord, send your Spirit tonight to come and do this work, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. The altars are open tonight. If you need prayer for anything, we would love to pray for you. Don't hesitate, just come. But let's spend a few moments, church. Let's spend a few moments and just unite our holy passion and our holy zeal in the Lord tonight. He is calling for a church that is his army. He is calling for a church that is strong in the zeal of the Lord, that is strong in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that we would cry out for that tonight, all for the glory of God. Hallelujah.